Right. Welcome to the XR Motion Podcast, where we talk about everything AR, VR, motion graphics, 3D, NFTs, metaverse, I don't know, just everything in the field. Welcome to our fun little show here. Today, I have with us Ryan Patterson. He is a digital-based artist here in Brooklyn, New York, and his work combines 3D modeling techniques with street photography to build surreal landscapes in which they tell stories. And I am so excited to have him on. Ryan, what is up, man? How's it going?
What's up? I didn't realize that bio would sound so pretentious when you read it, but
anything I say sounds pretentious. So, well, real quick before we get going here, Ryan, I'm just gonna do a little quick wrap up here of just some updates. And then we'll jump in. But long story short, guys, the XR Motion meetups, I'm sure by the time you're listening to this, you might have missed this one here. But coming up next month in May, it will be the last Tuesday of the month, which it is every month. And that is actually going to be on the 31st. So the last day of May, which is May 31st, is going to be the next meetup. And these meetups have been awesome. That's where I've met Ryan. It's where I met so many other cool, amazing, you know, artists here in Brooklyn. So feel free to swing on by. Also, we are now doing on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram visual breakdowns. So Ryan, we just did our first one together. Essentially, we just went through one of Ryan's amazing projects and kind of just dove deep into his project. And I was able to ask some questions and we were able to see how he did it. It was a lot of fun. The full version is going to be on YouTube, and then we're going to have some quick little tidbit ones on Instagram and TikTok. So definitely go check those out. Anyway, so that was pretty much it for the updates. Let's go ahead, man, and jump in. So, Ryan, dude, I am just so glad you're here. Well, for everyone listening and hasn't seen the visual breakdowns, just really quick, besides the bio we just read, what would you say you do? Like, how would you describe your day to day to people?
Sure. So I basically am a motion designer. I've worked in the sort of advertising, you know, New York motion design ring for about a decade now. Not just in New York, but in motion design in general. I've been in New York for about 5 years.
Wow.
But I have started taking on this side project, basically just out of personal interest, to start rendering a realistic version of Brooklyn in the neighborhood that I live in, that also you live in too. And just start capturing stuff from the street. Like, I have a weird obsession with garbage, love taking photos of garbage. So I've been doing that and kind of creating models of trash.
Well, you're in the right city to be obsessed with garbage.
Exactly. I know. I have like little rat buddies who live outside my apartment. But yeah, it's mostly just like, it's just something I'm interested in. I can't even really explain why, but it's something that I guess because I'm surrounded by it. So I try to tell stories based on, you know, the Brooklyn experience, but maybe hopefully in a funny way or at least an interesting way.
Well, I'll say you normally never see two pieces of trash that look the same. So that's cool. I relate. My spiritual animal is a rat. Well, I have I got a few paintings here, but anyway, I just kind of want to like unfold these layers and kind of see how you got into the field. So yeah, where was your start here? Like, is this something like maybe like, I know a lot of people sometimes watched a movie that really got them into it, or some people accidentally stumbled into it from a different field of work. What's kind of your origin story like?
I was in art school many years ago at this point, and I randomly took a class in After Effects.
Mm.
And that was sort of what got me into it. But I think even before that, it was the desire to just be able to make films and being really interested in like monster movies and stuff like that. I never wanted to go into VFX. I wanted to sort of do my own version of it. But I would say music videos and movies, you know, pretty standard. But I just had all these ideas that kind of needed animation, and motion graphics then, I don't even think it was called motion graphics yet. It's just like, I didn't even know how to describe it to people. I'd just be like, oh, you know how, like, you know, in cell phone commercials, there's like a phone flying around? I want to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, animation, it's kind of weird. I always feel like back in the day, I would sometimes call like, oh, I want to be an animator or an animationist or something, you know, but it's funny. You never really hear that title being used in our field, you know?
I mean, I wish I was an animator. I'm just like not.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like when I got into it, it never occurred to me to learn animation. I just like focused on learning After Effects, which like later down, I was like, fuck, I wish I had learned animation. But
yeah, I would have back in the day considered After Effects animation, me right. personally. But I feel like now, at least for me personally, it's kind of taken on the form of, do you do like actual build bones and make characters move and have expressions right. like that right. animation, you know?
I know. And that's like the classic motion graphics person's like dilemma trying to explain it to people. Yeah. You know, people who don't know. It's like, I do animation. It's always like, oh, you like, you know, Aladdin or whatever. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, I do cell phones and credit cards, baby.
Yep. And it's funny too. I feel like when you talk to a random person, you say you do motion graphics, they don't really even know what that means, you know?
I feel like now it's kind of improving, but yes, definitely for the last, you know, decade, it's been a struggle, but I feel like somehow that term, it's kind of like graphic designer. Like people don't understand what the work is, but they kind of know what the word is, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely turning a new leaf, which is good. My mom still doesn't get it, but that's okay.
No.
So I'm just kind of curious. So you went from, I always find that the beginning portions are really interesting because it's kind of hard to take a grasp on the idea of doing it full time. Like I felt like for me, at least, it never seemed like almost impossible when you're not getting paid, you know? So where was that kind of transition for you? Was that something you went straight from school into a job, or was that something you started with freelance, or with friends?
Yeah. So I actually dropped out of art school because I knew that I wanted to do motion graphics, but like my teachers didn't know enough about it to really teach me, you know? Because it was just like a general art school. I mean, I love the school and everything, but it just wasn't going to teach me what I needed to know to be like a professional, you know, designer or whatever. So I dropped out and started doing stuff for friends, you know, for free, just like whatever. Because like back then, everybody was trying to launch a website, you know. I feel like people are doing that less now. But back then it was like, oh, I got this great idea for a website. It's going to be about this, like, you know, whatever thing they were into. So there was a lot of that, and everybody wanted like a video intro so they could, you know, show it to people and whatever. So I did a couple of those. I did a lot of Grayscale Gorilla tutorials. I think I started using Cine 4D in that time. It was like Cine 4D, like R10 or something. I remember when they got physics, I was really happy about that. Then I still didn't understand how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just basically just like hustled, man. Just like, and then it was like picked up a couple freelance gigs, you know, here and there as like a super junior. I think I did like an internship at some like studio, literally cobbled together a career over the course of, I would say, 2 or 3 years, which isn't too bad. And that's when I was living in Toronto and I was, you know, very much like still teaching myself as I was going. And then I ended up at a studio with these really cool guys making a bunch of stuff, working for the Canadian version of MTV, which is called Much Music. I don't even know if that still exists, but we did a lot of commercials for them and they did a kind of cool, edgy stuff, you know, like MTV does. So that was good for my reel. And then shortly after that, I went to LA and just like randomly met people down there and got a job in LA. Very quickly, I think I got a job that I wasn't talented enough for. You know, it's like doing music videos for like Kanye West, and like
sick. That is too cool.
It's pretty wild. And it was literally like just a lucky. I just met the right people. Like Because again, motion graphics didn't really exist. So it was kind of just like, oh, you do this stuff? Like, just come work. You know, you didn't have to be amazing. You just had to know what to do. So,
well, so you've done this twice, but I, you know, love hearing this story from people. But what was that like for you to, I mean, A, you went from a different country to here. Granted, Canada, it doesn't feel like another country, but it is. Yeah. You went from Canada.
Legally, it is, and that's the important thing.
Yeah. Like, what was that like? And what was that, like, scary at all? Was there kind of, like, more of, like, a legal thing to it? Or how?
I mean, I won't get too far into the legal thing because that is just, like, a rabbit hole. And that was probably just, like, it's so boring and so complicated and so expensive. Like, it really... If anyone's moving countries, I really advise you to do the math. I got out of it okay, but it's just crazy. I mean, I've still had to pay to live in this country, like, exorbitant amounts of money.
Wow.
But yeah, it was exciting. It was scary. It was, like, a little depressing. You know, I had to leave all my friends behind. I think it was like 30 at the time. So it was just like, it's really hard to make an entirely new circle of friends at 30.
Right.
Which I didn't realize. And but it was exciting because that was, like, something I always wanted to do. Like, my whole goal was to, like, get the fuck out of Toronto because I'd grown up there and I was so over it, you know? And I just always wanted to live in the States because in Canada, you get, like, FOMO, you know? It seems like there's so much culture down here and then, like, Canada's just so dry. Even though, you know, now I go back to Canada and I'm like, it's not so bad here, but I don't regret it. Yeah, it was cool. You know, it's like, I'm sure you've had the same experience. It's like, there's good things and there's bad things. So
yeah. Were you scared at all? Like, man, or was LA just so exciting that you really didn't even have a fear?
Okay. So I will say I hate LA. Like, I did not enjoy living there at all. I was excited to leave LA, but just in the general moving was mostly exciting. I think it got sad a little later when I realized, like, all my friends are gone and stuff. But definitely the initial move was just, like, very overwhelmingly exciting. And that's what kind of spurs you to do it, you know. And I was working with these, like, major people. Like, I think my first job for them was, like, tour graphics for Kesha or something like that, right when she was huge, you know. So it was pretty wild. And then based on the strength of the work that I did with them, I was able to get, like, a better visa. And then I just moved to New York because I was just over LA and I always wanted to live in New York. That's where I actually always wanted to live. I took the job in LA because I was like, sure, like, it'll get me down there at least. But
I love that. So when you moved to New York at the start, what was that? So you were freelancing when you moved to New York, or did you kind of have a job lined up?
No, again, like with the visa, it's so, so hard to get a job. Basically have to freelance, like, because there's just so many restrictions on how you can get paid.
Wow.
So yeah, I basically, like, hit the ground running and just, like, was just sending out, you know, cold call after cold call emails and just cobbling it together. I mean, the good thing about New York is there's so many little industries and nooks and crannies that you can, like, climb into. Whereas LA, I feel like, is a bit more broad. It's, like, a bit more, I don't know how to say it, but in New York, there's, like, weird odd jobs almost. Like, I remember, like, doing, like, logos for, like, tech companies that weren't, like, even really tech companies yet, but they still have money. And, like, I did, like, I interviewed for this, like, ad guy who was going to, like, redesign BlackBerry back when BlackBerry was a thing. He's like, we're taking over BlackBerry. We're doing their entire design over. And I was like, I don't know, man.
BlackBerry is now a huge company again, funny enough.
Are they?
Yeah. I actually... at my job, they just made us use, I guess BlackBerry went all into, like, security software.
That's what we use too.
Yeah.
So just an aside to the listener here, me and Mike both work for large banks.
Yeah.
Shall remain nameless.
The sellouts. No. apparently, like, BlackBerry, like, they were kind of actually a part of the AMC and GME GameStop kind of movement. They had, like,
Yeah,
you can actually, like, a lot, they were like ranked fourth or fifth. I, like, had a bit invested into them, but back in the day. And yeah, they pretty much, because they, right during that time too, that was when they were really announcing, like, their heavy push into kind of like the security and mobile platform of.
I mean, it's a super smart move for them after their phones tanked. Like,
talk about a pivot, you know? It's that was like really smart on their end.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were always known for anyways. That and the buttons. I like the buttons. I don't know why those phones tanked, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, me, I like the physical buttons as well. I was actually shocked that the screens took off like they did, but now I kind of like the screens. Well, so just kind of going into like your inspiration. So you're working on these shorts, which for anybody listening, I go check out Ryan's work right now. It's the most New York work you'll see in a bit. Like, it's just raw and it's real and it's just kind of surreal. It's really fun. But yeah, so how do you like kind of say like, this is where I'm gonna get, you know, or this is where I'm going to make my project in your head? Like, I feel like I see, you know, there's a lot of photos kind of like references, like you kind of said that in your bio. Is that something where you make a shot on paper in your head first and then you look for the assets, or is it something where you're walking down the street and then like lightning strikes you and you're like, this is it, this is what I'm going to be working on?
I'd say it's a bit of both. I really love walking around the neighborhood and taking pictures of like weird things. Like the other day I took a picture of like a perfectly smushed rat. It was just like flat, just a flat rat with its tail out the back and his legs all spread. It was like, it's sad, but
yeah,
you know, it's eye candy. And it's like something that, you know, you're not really going to, I feel like it's something that's unique to this, not unique, but you know, something that's very characteristic of this neighborhood.
Right.
This neighborhood being Bushwick. And yeah, I mean, mostly actually I do have the ideas. I think they come out of like some sort of primordial soup of things that I've been consuming, you know what I mean? And then an idea will just sort of crystallize and then I'll be like, okay, well I need to, you know, model like a fire hydrant. So like I'll walk around and then find a bunch of fire hydrants, take a bunch of photos, and bring those home, and then even look online if I miss some angles or whatever, any more information and stuff. But yeah, it's generally just like an impression, I think, on me that I try to work for. And then if I need some assets, I'll just go out and find them.
Mm. Well, so working in Houdini, too, I mean, it's so fun that you're working with Houdini and doing all of these environmental stuff. Now, I know we were talking about in the breakdown, just you do a lot of photogrammetry. Is that right? That's fun. Now with Houdini, so I know we'll do a summary of the breakdown, which again, we go into hardcore detail, but I believe you were saying you did a lot of ZBrush, and then you, from ZBrush, you're kind of, well, you're using, I guess, can you just actually share the breakdown so I'm not like butchering it? Like, what's kind of like your start from going from like a start to finish project, on some of your posts on Instagram?
Well, if I'm using photogrammetry, I mean, that's a whole thing. I have like a little makeshift studio in my apartment, which is basically just like a pedestal that I can spin around and photograph. You know, I have like all the, but I invested the smallest amount of money possible to get a good result, like flashes and studio lights and all this stuff. But it's pretty cheap now with LEDs, but, yeah, and so then you do the photograph, and then you got to bring it into the software, generate the scan, which may or may not work. Like, I've definitely had multiple times where I had to go back and re-photograph, you know.
What would you say is, like, usually the issue with photogrammetry that makes an object not work?
Sometimes they're too reflective, or sometimes the lighting doesn't work, or sometimes it's just hard to explain the geometry to a computer, you know. It's like, maybe they have too much contrast. They can't make sense of it. You know, it's really weird. It's hard to tell. I don't know. Sometimes it's just very painful. And a lot of times I've just given up, you know, and just like moved on to the next piece. Cause I'm not an expert at it. So.
Right. How many pieces would you say you've like photo scans with?
Probably about 30 at this point.
Wow.
So I'm pretty good. I've done a lot of techniques. I've done things where I bought like, you know, I've taken them outside and like spray painted them with like matte finish to get like get rid of all the reflection, and then come back in, scan it, fix it, and then retexture it with its original like packaging, you know?
Smart. Oh, that's really smart. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, it's more time consuming, but it looks really good. But then you have to also like speckle it with white and black so it has contrast to track it still, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. See, that's a great tip. I love hearing things like that. That's genius. That's awesome. That's smart. Huh. And that, like, how much better would you say a result is doing that method versus just grabbing a red Solo cup and
For some things, that's the only possible way, like a bottle or something like that. There's no way you could track it on just the glass. You have to paint it. So
interesting. I love that. That's good to know. That is really
it's fun.
Good to know.
I mean, yeah, it's fun taking spray paint to things, you know? It's like you get very few opportunities as a digital artist to get physical with things. So I take all the chances I can get.
Cool. Well, so I love that. So how long does it take your renders normally? Because your renders are usually about like maybe 5 seconds around, kind of hitting that sweet spot, the 7 second marker. How long do your renders take using, and what kind of like rendering type and computer software and hardware are you using? Mm-hmm. Loaded question.
I mean, yeah, I use Redshift. And I have a couple GPUs. My computer's pretty old, but you know, the GPUs were... that's where the money is. So
NVIDIA, you're using like the 3090s, 1080s?
No, I went full workstation, man. I bought the A5000s. It's like two A5000s, probably some of the most money you can spend on GPUs at this point.
Right on. Those are the ones that are way more also. The energy efficiency on those things is apparently drastic compared to the 3090s.
Oh, it's like they're like one third. They're like basically the same amount of power for like one third of the power draw. And they're just like their workstation cards, so you don't have to worry about it. They're super quiet. Like, I don't know. They just for the extra money, you get quality of life. So
that's cool. Yeah, I want to look more into those. I've only got one Titan right now. So it's a beast. And, you know, I can make huge scenes, but I think I'm ready for a little bit more speed, but maybe after I get done with my ZBrush dailies, because I haven't been needing it too much for that. But
right. Yeah, these are basically like the new Titans, I would say.
That's awesome. So I'm excited. I guess I just want to hear a little bit more about this kind of short story you're working on.
Oh, sure.
You know, I know. So you're having a bunch of these cool clips and you're doing like kind of like a collective with this like photogrammetry scanning and developing different scenes around the city. What's kind of like your plan with that? Your development plan and then your execution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these pieces are basically small bits of a larger whole that I have planned. I want to be making like a short film set in a cityscape. And I started developing these little clips to start building that world incrementally, basically. And also to be able to share it with other people and generate interest and just, I don't know, meet people, you know, just be social about it. I also I'm going to start selling these assets. I've used this also as a learning opportunity to learn Houdini a lot. So I'm going to start packaging these assets. Like I'm almost done with this procedural dumpster generator. So I'm going to be selling that online very soon. And then basically, you know, just kind of building a world, building a library of assets that I can use. And, you know, as I said before, this is just something I'm genuinely interested in. I never get sick of working on these scenes. Like I love New York. I just feel like there's an energy here that's, I really love capturing it or at least like expressing my own version of it, you know? So yeah. And then, eventually this will turn into like a larger piece, probably like a 10 to 15 minute short film, which I'm going to submit to festivals and do the whole thing. So yeah, the selling of the assets really does all go toward the production of the film, which should start this year, I would think. That's kind of my plan, is to finish it sometime in the next 365 days.
Wow, that's super exciting. I feel like that's one thing I haven't done, as many like short films or longer animation pieces. I kind of usually am always just doing my dailies and moving on, which I'm excited to kind of eventually jump into that. I have been starting to think of some ideas and plans, but that's super exciting. I cannot wait to see the final product and just see the progress along the way.
So check me out. Regular Menthol.
Yeah, what was it again?
Regular Menthol.
That's right.
It's great.
One word. And I can't say it enough, like, check out the work. It's so cool when you see what, you know, Ryan's making. It's inspiring, you know. It's always fun to see artists, especially ones that have like a lot of passion in what they're doing, and the work is just great. Speaking of kind of passion and maybe inspiration here, is there any artist that you are inspired by, or any maybe just favorite artists in general right now that you've been watching and looking at?
I mean, I feel like there's so much art out right now. It's hard, and I hate saying this, but it's hard to think of names.
Yeah.
But I really spend maybe a Michael lot of my
Steinberg
time.
Steinberg, or no, I'm just kidding.
I do love your work. So.
It's basic, but work and it's they're all whips.
Whips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, crack the whip. I spend a lot of my time on, God, I can't remember the name of the frickin' website. What's the one that Epic just bought, like the 3D art website?
Substance?
No. It's like a website. It's like a browse. It's like a DeviantArt, but it's not.
Right. It's like the 3D one, right?
Yeah.
Shit. I might have to Google this one.
Yeah, hang on.
See what works faster, the brain or Google.
ArtStation.
Oh, really? Epic bought ArtStation?
Yeah.
Wow, good move. Yeah. Interesting move.
I know, it makes sense, right?
Huh.
Yeah, so I just spend a lot of time on ArtStation, just like, scrolling basically. I mean, some of the work on there is just so incredible. I mean, it makes me hate my life, but it's inspiring. Just seeing the level of realism that's out there now, it really gives me something to work toward. And also, like, some of it's just genuinely awesome, you know. So
yeah, I've actually been using that more and more, because with Instagram, they just are trying to do the TikTok thing and make it more like an entertainment platform and more like, how much time can we suck out of you? And what sucks is, like, it's not even the shit that you want to see. They just make their own trends and then take advantage that you wanted to look at something, and then they force these trends. Anyway,
I feel like I can't even find work on Instagram anymore. You know, it's like I never get to see it anymore.
Yeah. Like, it's not, I feel like it's not about what you follow anymore. They're just trying to make it this huge public platform for everybody. And it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually deleted almost every app off my phone, primarily my home screen. And I have pretty much just ArtStation is the, I have no social media. I have Discord and ArtStation, and then the Corridor Crew app, and then like Google Calendar. And that's kind of it. Like, pretty much only.
Yeah, that's
not bad. Yeah, like, just because I don't even want to have the option to be distracted. And if I really want to, I have to like type in the app, you know? But yeah, ArtStation, I can't push that enough. Like, it really is one of the best. It's just pure art and phenomenal art. You know,
especially for like environment design. I feel like there's a lot of video game people on there. And using Unreal too. So it's definitely interesting. And then sometimes I want to like the NFT marketplaces more than I do. I just find so much of the art is just, I don't know.
I love a lot of NFT artists, to be honest. Like, not a lot, but there's a lot of, I don't know. There's just some art that I feel like is just there for the money, which I would say is most art. It's like, there's just zero soul. There's zero passion. It just literally feels like somebody figured out how to randomly generate different assets on objects, and they are just shelling that out and spamming my feed. It's
Well, this is the thing. As soon as you introduce money, everybody wants it, you know? It's like, that's why Instagram was so great, is you had all these amazing artists making stuff for free, just pouring their hearts into it. Now it's kind of been fragmented a bit. So I'm sure it'll reform, but right now it's a bit, you can't scroll on OpenSea the way you can scroll on Instagram or ArtStation. Former Instagram, not anymore, but I mean, maybe it'll get there. I like going on those marketplaces to see what people are doing. It's just, it is a lot of noise. So it's a bit more complicated.
I feel like ArtStation's going to kind of get more and more popular as going on. I've been using it for a few years, but even throughout the few years, I've been using it more and more and more just for viewing. The work is so good, I'm embarrassed to even post my own work on it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it sucks in that way.
It's so good. I want to ask, because I feel like everyone's got one, but what's been your favorite project to work on?
Well, I've been working on the same project for like a year now, so I would say that one. Do you mean like a commercial project?
We'll say work project, because if you have one, normally that would count as an answer, but we just talked about it for so long. So I'm going to.
So long.
Yeah, you get the trick harder question on that.
That's fair. Well, I just did this Cuervo spot for this company called Within. It's actually on my Instagram too. It was really fun. It was just like a classic, like, they're unveiling some new tequila or something. So it was like the classic, like, macro shots of the bottle and ice and stuff. And it was just like a really quick job. It was stressful, but I was really into it. I got to use Houdini on it, which was nice. And the renders just came out great, because I've also been trying to up my lighting game. And
It looked beautiful. Like, I feel like anytime you can put two of the same colors together, like, that was black on black, and it was just, the lighting was great. I mean, it's so tricky to make the background and the foreground stick out when they're the same exact color. And you really got to use lighting on that. And that was a beautiful little piece you worked on there. That was awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. I know we talked about this a little bit, or not really in the breakdown, but maybe we'll cut this question if it's not a good one. But do you have any favorite plugins that you've been using recently?
No, I think I need to skip this one, because I basically, with Houdini, you essentially make your own plugins. So it's a procedural dumpster maker that I'm really fond of. I recommend people check that out, but
that's cool. And Houdini, so can, like, I know that's the cool thing about Houdini, is you do make, in a way, your own plugins, but is there ways to sell that, like, as like pre-packaged kind of like object or composition where people, can just.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about a way to make a particle system for Cinema 4D. Because like there's this plugin, it's called the Houdini Engine. I'm pretty sure it comes with Cinema.
Yeah.
I used to, I'm not sure if it still does, but basically you can open these assets. They're called HDAs. When you package an asset from Houdini, it's called an HDA. And you can import that into Cinema and just use it. Like, you can build in little, like, input slots, like, I want the particles to emit from this sphere, and you just drag in a Cinema 4D sphere, and it'll just, it just goes. Because it's just so much, I just find X particles is so bloated and expensive. It's like almost insane to use it. That's kind of why I switched to Houdini, because it's the same price and you get all this extra stuff. And I was like, I'll just do my particles in Houdini. It was basically out of spite.
I know. What's funny is I actually, out of spite, I canceled all my Cinema stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well,
I thought you wanted ZBrush though.
Well, so we'll get to that in a second. I canceled all of my cinema stuff because I was pissed because I had the Redshift. I bought like a year of Redshift, but then Maxon bought it and they didn't really refund me on anything. And so when I wanted to use it on my laptop, I couldn't. They were pretty much just saying you have to use it on your desktop. It was a big thing. And then I got it on my laptop. So I bought an entire year and then I had to buy another license just for my laptop. And then they didn't even have a cancel button. You have to like email them directly. I mean, they fixed it, but it was just like kind of pure rage. And it's still just like with Maxon, what pisses me off is it's like there is not one person that is going to be dropping a grand, like as much as they want for their entire year for Maxon One, that doesn't also have a laptop. Like, homie, just let me use my laptop and my PC. Like, if I want to go in my living room or go to a coffee shop, it is so annoying to have to like.
It's insane because, yeah, like it's ridiculous. I mean, Adobe's the same way. You have to log in and do all the crap. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not that big of a deal, but it's just kind of insulting.
Yeah.
Houdini's like $200 a year and you get two licenses. You know what I mean? It's like.
Brilliant.
It's awesome.
So that's my thing. So then with Blender, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see what's good about Blender. And people were like sculpting. And then I was like, I'm going to start sculpting. And then after 30 days of sculpting, it started crashing because my models were getting heavy. And that's where like you, Nathan, and a few other people were like, oh, you gotta. And I've always known about ZBrush and I've even tried it, but I hated because I would always pay for ZBrush and then not use it. So
definitely.
So I feel like after 30 days of doing Blender, just sculpting in Blender, I was like, okay, now I've proven to myself that I can use ZBrush or I'll be inspired to. So then once I got ZBrush, I was like, you know what? I got Cinema again a few weeks ago. I was like, I'm just going to get the Maxon One for the year because I also like sometimes do After Effects. And so anyway, I got the whole, went from trying to be like a rebel to diving in and getting everything.
I know. I feel like Maxon though is just like bullying their way to relevancy still because like it just feels like Blender is just about to take it over and it's free and everything. But then now Maxon's making these big moves by buying these softwares that basically everyone needs.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're like forcing themselves to be relevant still. So
I feel like Adobe did the same thing. But yeah, I will say that, you know, all of the cool new cinema features on R26 that just dropped, like they pretty much took, they were like, hey, we're going to buy ZBrush and then just figure out all the cool stuff in ZBrush and put them into, you know, Cinema, which
I'm into that. That's cool. I mean, it took them fucking like 5 years to do anything at all with Redshift. So
yeah, I'm really hoping.
I mean, they only now like made the node system like half decent. And I haven't tried it yet, but it looks like on the video it got better.
Yeah, me too.
The material preview got better. I know we were talking about that. Apparently they totally updated that. So you can see each node now.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just praying that the people that just finished doing all of the new user interface and Cinema R25, they're just ready to go with ZBrush and they're like, we already know everything about user interface, and just take that team and literally move them onto ZBrush.
I just feel like ZBrush is like a house of cards. Like, it's almost like if you move anything in that program, it all comes tumbling down. You know, it's just been duct taped on top of itself for so long.
Yep.
We'll see. I mean, there's literally like three file menus off the bat. Like, that's insane.
It just feels like things aren't where they should be either. And just clicking, like, compared to any other program, it doesn't make sense. Like, Blender, everyone said that about Blender, and I figured that out pretty damn quick. ZBrush.
Well, Blender updated though. Blender used to have a super weird one, but they changed it.
Well, maybe I jumped into Blender at the right time, but everything I always heard about Blender is how I'm feeling actually about ZBrush. Like,
I know.
The simplest thing.
I've even written ZBrush emails and be like, why is this way?
it's mind-boggling. And I wish they would at least do, like, in most programs, you can select editing mode, and then you go into, like, a whole new user interface that just makes sense for what you're trying to do there, or object mode, and then there's all these new things. But no, it's just everything, a bunch of four-point fonts scattered everywhere, and it's terrible.
It's brutal.
Yeah,
and everything has weird names. Like, everything's called a plugin. It's like, what? How is this a plugin? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I love how just even to start a new scene, you have to do new document, but it's like a document. I don't know why. It's just so funny.
I know. It's like it's almost like a project, and then you have to make a sculpt within the project, and that's a different thing. And then there's Z tools, which are actually just sculpts, and like, I don't. It's fucked.
I'm just diving in, and I will say for anybody else that has been looking into it, a 10,000 times, not 1,000, but literally probably 10 times more powerful than Blender. I mean, I'm just blown away. I can't believe I was sculpting by hand like I was in Blender for 30 days, where this just has tools to like make custom shaped noses, different mouths, and it's like pre-built in and automatic, beautiful. But then when it comes to you accidentally click a wrong button, you're probably going to spend an hour trying to figure out how to fix that issue on the most ridiculous thing. Well, moving on here, do you have, and we're kind of like wrapping up here, and we'll talk a little bit about the future stuff here in a minute. But before we move on to the future of our industry, which is my favorite part, do you have any pocket advice for just like pretty much your entire 10 years in the industry? Just something you would be able to tell yourself, like maybe a sentence or two you would tell yourself when you first got started?
Maybe don't jump into freelance so quick. I feel like a lot of artists jump into freelance, and I definitely did this. I jumped into freelance way too quick before I had the skills or the client base to support it, and it was extremely stressful. So that would be my only thing. I think, like, it seems like this dream world where you're just going to get to cherry pick, like, the most awesome projects, but it's, you really do end up just working on mostly the same crap.
So you can't just work on Star Wars films every day? That's,
Exactly. I would just, if I had to go back, I would probably try to find a better staff job at like a really good studio. I kind of guerrilla styled it, like DIY, and just bounced around to a bunch of like startups. But again, like now there's, I feel like, less small studios. So it's kind of more of a big studio world right now. So definitely cut your teeth before you dive in.
I agree. Getting in the studios is like, it's just so crucial. It's just such a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Getting yourself surrounded with as many talented artists as possible gives you years of experience.
I wish I had done that.
Yeah, me too. Well, cool. Well, moving into the future part here, only got like 2-3 questions here, but they're my favorite questions. We'll start off on a personal note. Where do you see yourself in like 3 to 5 years?
Oh man, I think I've been thinking about that a lot. I don't know. I'm kind of in a good zone right now. I have like a steady job. I would do this art on the side. There's a lot of projects that I'd like to take on. So maybe I'll just keep doing this until I can take on all these little projects in my head. I know we were talking about making like maybe a VR thing, or like I was thinking about making a video game, but then I also make music and I was like, I want to start doing shows and maybe go on tour, you know, do something like that. So I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm making short films as of right now, and I'm really excited to do the festival circuit. The last short film I made got into a couple festivals, but it was COVID, so everything was online. I really want to do the in-person aspect of that. That's kind of just what I'm focused on right now. Is I stopped looking 5 years into the future because I really just want to hone in on what I'm doing. The fact that I've been working on this project for a year is insane for me, because like normally I just jump from thing to thing and I have 12 ideas. So just like really forcing myself to focus is serving me well. So I just, I think I'm going to keep on that train. So 5 years from now, not sure, but there's a lot of possibilities.
We'll say more focused.
Sure.
Cool. Well then, so what are your thoughts? Because this isn't necessarily future, but I think it is going to maybe or maybe not be the future. But what is your thoughts currently on the AR and VR industry and how that incorporates with the motion graphics world?
Mm-hmm. I think it's progressing in an interesting way. I'm not ready to fully jump into it, but I definitely have ideas of how it could be cool and what I would like to see. I'm just not sure if the technology is there yet. And I'm not sure if I'm there yet because I always get motion sick when I do VR. So I think we've had this conversation before. It's like I'm really looking forward to AR. I think that's going to be the game changer, at least off the bat. That's going to get more people into the virtual, let's say, metaverse realm, quote unquote. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by it, I would say. I think I'm definitely taking it more seriously than I was a couple of years ago. I own a VR headset. I dabble for 20 minutes at a time.
As much as you can with VR sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Last questions here, but have you used ever like Unity or Unreal Engine, any sort of real-time engine in your workflows yet? And do you think like, is that something that's been intriguing you? If not,
mm-hmm. It's something that I have used. I want to use it. I mean, I actually entered like this filmmaking contest. It was actually on Art Station, and I won third place.
Wow! Congrats! Yeah. That's Thank exciting. You.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, we're going to have to share that in the Discord, in the show notes.
Put that in the liner notes. Yeah. But I really, really hated using Unreal. It was a really quick and dirty contest. I think it was like 5 weeks long, and I'd never used Unreal before. So it was like just a lot to learn. Mm. I like it a bit better now. I've dabbled with UE5, and there's a lot less limitations now with Nanite and stuff. You can just use your geo, and you don't have to worry about LODs, and like that is just the most annoying thing to me.
Yeah.
But I just don't think the graphics are there yet, you know, as much as they tout it, and as many cool stills you see on Instagram. I don't know. I can just never get it to look like that. So maybe that's just me, but I haven't fully integrated it. But I think like for interactive projects, it's absolutely incredible. I think like for film projects, I'm not sold on it yet, but and I have seen people do awesome stuff, but I don't know. It's not working for me yet, but for interactive, I mean, I'd say it's incredible. Even Unity is really cool too. For lower poly, simpler stuff. I built a VR prototype in Unity just because I wanted to see what it was about. I probably will move to Unreal now just because it's closer to my workflow. I could at some point hypothetically be integrated into it, so I'll probably just stick to that. But
nice, smart. Well, hey Ryan, I think that was all the questions we have here. Is there anything else you wanted to share or anything like that?
No, you know, just the usual. Follow me on Instagram, Regular Menthol. Feel free to ask me any questions about any of my work. I love talking about it. Show me your stuff and whatever. Let's be friends. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, Ryan, thank you again so much for coming on. This has been great. Hopefully I'll see you at some future meetups coming up.
I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Have a good one.